Today we continue our study in the fruit of the Spirit as we're looking at the person of the Holy Spirit of God and how the Holy Spirit relates to us as we relate to the Lord. And let me read our verse, if I might, again. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get right to work. Our text is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And as we begin to look at this, we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit describes who we are in Jesus Christ. We talked about there's nine fruit divided into three areas: the personal experience we have in relationship to God, love, joy, and peace. We have the love of God, the joy of Jesus, the peace of Jesus. Then our personal relationship with other people, as the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in our lives, long-suffering, patience, putting up with each other, gentleness, goodness, and then finally our personal development as Christians, faith, meekness, and temperance. So let's pick up. We have already looked at last broadcast on the fruit of love and the fruit of joy. Now we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And as we see, the Scripture says, love, joy, and peace. Now, the Greek word for peace means to join together. It's a picture of two opposing forces once separated, but now reconciled. Peace is knowing the God you were separated from, but you are now joined together with Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you trust Him by simple faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, listen, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. There it is. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been joined together with God. As we've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been saved. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, and we are changed and we are new people because we have been joined to the Lord. So we are reconciled, and we'll never ever be apart from God again. Now, first, this peace is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. Verse 27, I'm sure you remember this verse, and as we look at it, listen to verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I'm thankful for that. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, the Lord said, my peace. So when the Holy Spirit's talking about giving us peace, He's given us the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolute. It's complete, the psalmist said, talking about it being in peace with God. Psalm 4, verse 8, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. And what a blessing that is, isn't it? Can you do that? Are you able to release those anxieties in your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I know it's difficult for us sometimes that all these things that bother us and trouble us in this old world, and as we trust the Lord by faith, He brings that sweet peace, His peace, into our lives. So first, it's centered in Christ. And second, it's a certain peace in spite of circumstances. Just turn over a chapter or two. Let's see, John 16, 33, when the Lord is talking about this marvelous, marvelous peace. Listen to John chapter 16, verse 33, the last verse in the chapter. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. That's a blessing. That's where it comes from. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Now, this whole world around us is troubled, and we're in the middle of it all, but He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Take heart, He says. Have courage. You rest in me. You be comforted in me. So the Lord is our peace. He's our comfort. You say, why? Because Jesus Christ is bigger and more powerful than any problem you and I will ever face. Amen? It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we've all faced troubles and trials and difficulties in our lives. And to realize that we can just rest in Him and have that wonderful abiding peace that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring. He's the overcomer. Peace in the deepest sorrow, the death of a loved one, rejection in life, sickness, loss of resources that God moves into our lives. See, these are Godward fruit. These are things that we look right back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He produces these in our heart. He does all of them, but they come in relationship to Him. We have it's His. We love Him because He first loved us. He said, I leave you my joy. And He says, my peace I give unto you. And so we see a deep agape love, an overflowing joy, and a wonderful calm peace that God brings into our lives. The book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Listen, you've heard this. I've read this thousands of times. Be careful for nothing. That means be anxious for nothing. Don't be worrying about anything. Isn't that something? It's hard not to do sometimes, isn't it? All of us have trouble at times fretting over something, worrying over something. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, here's the basis, everything by prayer. That's asking God. And supplication, that's praying for somebody else, supplicating for another person. They've got a problem and this disturbs you. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A thankful heart is a peaceful heart as you rejoice in the Lord. Now listen, verse 7, and the peace of God, see it? It's God's peace given to us, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep or fortify your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he continues, he said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true. In these days, my boy, lock into the Word of God. God's Word is truth. If it violates the principles of God's Word, it's not truth. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any worthwhile in it, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let these things be in your heart. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Watch this. And the God of peace shall be with you. Not only the peace of God, but the God of peace. You say, Brother David, can these ever be interrupted? Can our peace be interrupted? Of course it can. We're flawed human beings. We're vessels with holes in us. We can sin. When we sin, it interrupts our peace. It troubles us. Conviction comes. When we doubt God's promises, it can trouble us. But we know Him. God said, think on Him. Think about Him and experience Him. See, you and I will never be satisfied outside the fruit and the filling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So the Spirit's gifts, the Holy Spirit's gifts, first, our personal experience with God, love, joy, and peace. We have God's love, God's joy, and God's peace. Now, the second group, as we look back over into Galatians again, these are the Holy Spirit groups that gifts that deal with our personal relationships with other people that God works through us to minister. These three characteristics will be exhibited in your life with regard to other people: long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. All right, let's look at each one of these. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Long-suffering, chapter 5, verse 22. This is a wonderful, wonderful word. In the Greek language, it's a compound word. Two words blended in together to make one, the word micro and the word thumia. Micro means long. Thumia means heat, temper, explosion, long heat, long pressure. So the word long-suffering then also means having a long temper, being able to be in the heat for a long time, have a long fuse. Now, what's the opposite? The fleshly side, short-tempered. Do you know anyone with a short temper? You know, kind of like carrying nitroglycerin around. You got to handle them gently, or are they going to get angry and explode? We're to have Holy Spirit control. They have what they call self-control, and they can't control it. They don't have the Holy Spirit controlling their temper or working in their lives. So the Spirit-filled person has long, L-O-N-G, long suffering. Why so patient? How can they do this? Because of the Holy Spirit. Now, I like the holiday fireworks, 4th of July, New Year's. I like having my grandchildren, all of us, get some fireworks and family. We, you know, pop firecrackers and all these other things, and have to let my neighbors know ahead of time so they know what we're doing. We're not blowing the world up out there. But have you ever had a firecracker with a short fuse? I mean, I've lit one time, and man, you got to get going or it's going to get you. You light it and run or it'll go off in your back pocket as you're leaving. Now, some people have short fuses like that. Not much fun to be around. You worry about when's he going to blow up, when or she's going to lose her temper. See, long-suffering is a Holy Spirit control, a restraint. That's not hasty, angry, or to retaliate wrongly. So Paul prayed for the Colossian church, that as God worked in their hearts and their lives, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Let me just read it, 10 and 11, to you. Listen. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, that the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in your life, and increasing in knowledge. Listen, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto what? All patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That you're patient with joy. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you relate in Jesus Christ to people. You don't get mad every time things don't go your way. Now, yeah, you may have a trigger and it may go off, but the Holy Spirit gets control before you explode and react wrongly. I mean, you know, you just say to yourself, the Lord doesn't want me to do this. You start to say something, it just dies in your throat. You're going to write a mean letter? Yeah, you wad it up, throw it in the garbage. See, the Holy Spirit is keeping control because you gave him control of your life. You yielded to the Holy Spirit. When you keep your cool, it is evidence that God is in you. Amen? That God, you know, God has changed you. You say, I don't act like I used to. When I first got out of the Marines, I wasn't a Christian. I was a Sandan black belt, third degree black belt in judo. Went to the Kodokan in Japan to study the Atima Waza, which are the killing techniques, being a force recon Marine and studying all that. And it didn't take me long. If you run your mouth, I'm going to straighten you out. But God changed that in my heart and in my life. God gives us long suffering. The second one in this group is the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The word for gentleness, where the King James Version, and I've used it so long that I memorized everything in it, so I just keep using it. The New King James Version is marvelous to as you study. But the word is where we talk about gentleness is kindness. Kindness is like the impression. The word that's used is the word that the Greeks would use, the impression in a coin, which told you what country it belonged to or what owner it belonged to. Remember when Jesus said, they gave him the coin and said, do we pay Caesar's taxes? And he said, give me the coin. He said, whose picture is this on the coin? Remember? They said, it's Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give unto God that which is God's. Kindness, gentleness, is the impression of Jesus Christ on his children. And they knew that they had been with Jesus because of the way they acted, remember? The Holy Spirit will move you to show kindness to other people. Maybe they don't even deserve it, but it magnifies him. See, today this fruit is rare in our country, so divided and so angry. We live in a selfish, self-centered, angry world. I want my rights, burn the streets down, thing, shoot at the policeman, all these kind of things. I want my way. I want my rights. World's always in a hurry. This roadway rage, shooting at people on the highways because they cut in front of you. We're short on long-suffering, and we're short on kindness. The Philadelphia Daily News stated that aggressive driving accounted for one half of the city's auto accidents. Another survey said the top four causes for accidents was not carelessness, but aggression. Running stoplights, going to get through, tailgating, lane swerving. You've seen people just zoop around in and out between people, and then they run into somebody. They said that 12,828 people were injured or killed due to aggressive driving, and 94 of them were killed were children. See, we're living in an era that's forgetting to be kind. People are just driving, I'm going to have my way, my goal, my rights, all of that. So when the Holy Spirit demonstrates kindness in a believer, it stands out. It's evidence of God. Remember the Bible, the little Sunday school verse, Ephesians 4:32, we were taught as kids, be ye kind one to another. John Wesley was said to be one of the kindest men who ever lived. A strong, powerful preacher, vigorous defender of the faith. But let me share with you his motto. Listen to this. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Wow. Be kind in your home, to your own family. Be kind in the workplace. Be kind in the public. Be kind at church. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our relationship with others are, number one, long-tempered. Second, kind. The third one that's listed in this group, this pod, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness that he's talking about. Goodness. You say, Brother David, what is he talking about there? Goodness is used four times in the New Testament with this Greek word. Have you ever heard one say, well, he's a good man. She's a good woman. And now, I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, only Jesus. But what that person is talking about is the Holy Spirit is controlling that individual. They didn't mean they're perfect. Only God is good and perfect. It doesn't mean they didn't make mistakes. But it means they are basically, as the word that God uses here, they're good people. Two ladies were rival in their social circles. They met at a party, and one said, my dear, are those real pearls that you have around your neck? Of course, replied the lady. Well, the one that was being snide says, well, the only way I could really tell would be to bite one of them. That would show that they were paste. And the other lady said, yes, and then you'd have to have real teeth. Boy, they were being ugly, weren't they? Goodness is lacking in that relationship. Goodness is God's love in action. That you live to help people. You live to encourage people. You live to bless people. Listen to Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, women, children, especially unto them which are the household of faith. Let's be a blessing to them. So we see the first pod is the love, joy, and peace, our experienced relationship with God. Then our relationship with others, long-suffering, kindness, and gentleness, goodness. Now, the third Holy Spirit group series here is our personal development as people. So look at verse 22 again, and he says the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. As you look at this, you think of faith, right? As we take this verse, because it's singular in faith in the King James Version. As you look at it, you think he's talking about believing God, putting your faith in God. But the term the Bible is talking about is faithfulness. You live a life of faithfulness, faithful, loyal to Jesus, dependable. See, Paul is telling us when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll grow more and more into a faithful person, a person of faith, a faithful person for Jesus, a person with integrity, a person God can count on. Remember the Bible says Jesus was a faithful and true witness in Revelation chapter 1? See, this is important in the Lord's work. As we serve the Lord, as we walk with the Lord, there's a question in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Listen, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find, or a faithful woman, who can find one that's around you? The Holy Spirit wants that evidence within our lives that we have been taught of him to be faithful. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, Paul is saying, writing to Timothy, for that he counted me faithful. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, God wants to count us faithful, men and women of the faith that contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, faithful people. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Commit it to faithful men and women. That the Holy Spirit makes you a person that somebody wanted to get in the foxhole with. Joe Jordan and I are dear friends. We've served the Lord together, and I was the president of Tennessee Temple, the pastor of Highland Park, and he was the president and director of Word of Life International. And we just became dear friends. He had come preach for us, and I'd go up at Word of Life and do conferences up there. He'll say, how's my foxhole buddy? They don't quit. They don't leave you in the lurch. Husbands and wives, they're loyal and true to each other. Servants of the Lord, faithful church members, real friends, not just someone that uses you and goes on about their business. Are you developing a life of faithfulness? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Well, the second fruit in this pod is the fruit of meekness. Sometimes we hear meek and we think weak, not even close. Meek is one of the most powerful words in the New Testament. It means to have great power, always in control. Like a champion racehorse with all that, but he submits to the bit. A great reservoir with water all back behind it, but it's controlled by a spillway that allows the pressure to go. It means strength under control and power under discipline, meekness. Jesus Christ was meek. God in the flesh, the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the prime example. Watch him take a whip of cords and clean out the temple. No one challenged him. Surely no one would say, well, boy, he's not very strong. He's not very powerful or a mighty, mighty man. He was strong and he was powerful, yet God says he was meek. that he was humble and he was meek and he was gentle. Matthew chapter 11, the Bible talks about it in verse 29. Listen to what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen to this. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Aren't you thankful? The word means submissive to God's will. It means teachable. It means considerate of others. I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Listen, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you've seen a yoke, it's a two yoke where you have maybe two oxen in it. And when he said, take my yoke. The Lord's right there. He's bearing the load. You get in that yoke with him, and he bears the load. The great and the mighty King of kings and the Lord of lords. Martin Luther said a meek person is neither too hasty-tempered nor too slow-tempered. Meekness doesn't get angry with people it ought not to get angry with, nor does it fail to get angry with people it ought to get angry with. The man who is meek is the man who feels anger on the right grounds of righteousness. Against the right person, in the right manner, at the right moment, for the right length of time. That's what Jesus did when he cleansed the temple. At all times, he will err on the side of forgiveness. Don't you love that? Jesus is our perfect example. These are his character traits that we're talking about. He wants to instill in us. Well, let's look at the last one now, the fruit of self-control. The word we know is temperance. It means to grab hold of your life, grab hold of something. Have you grabbed hold of your life and the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you still get kind of beat up in life in the same places because you lack the discipline? You know, Paul used that sports illustration that he didn't want to run the race and then be rejected because that he wasn't living to please the Lord and do what God wanted him to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he talks about this. And listen, he says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. You see it? And he says, I keep my body under subjection. That's what it's talking about. That someone said, who's the greatest enemy? The other one said, it's ourselves. See, the Holy Spirit wants more and more control of our lives. Not self-control, but spirit control. So we must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must walk in the Spirit. We must be filled with the Spirit. Amy Carmichael said, God, harden me against myself. The coward with pathetic voice who craves for ease and rest and joy, myself. Arch traitor to myself. Boy, just think about that. My hollowest friend, my deadliest foe, my clog, whatever road I go, myself. So we want to let God control our lives. Amen? And then as he closes, he talks about we bear the fruit in due season. As we walk with the Lord and he works in our heart and in our lives, you will notice the difference looking at your own life. Others will notice the difference that you have been with Jesus. More love, more joy, more peace, a longer fuse, greater kindness, goodness with people in your personal walk, more faithful and self-controlled. And you'll continue to grow through your life to be more like Jesus. The power source is the Holy Spirit in you. So if you don't know Christ, I invite you to come to him. If you do know him, you're walking with him, then friend, surrender yourself, yield to him, that he can produce Christ-likeness in your life, something you can't do yourself. Well, to the next broadcast, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.